Welcome to Evolutionary Men, where we learn to lead in life and love with head, heart, and guts. This is for men wanting to deepen their presence in the world, clarify their purpose, more easily connect with their power, and find ease in dating and relationships. I'm your host, Jason Lang. Let's get started. Two quick things before we dive in. If you're enjoying this podcast, you can join the discussion community at evolutionary.men/discuss. In there, you can talk about episodes of this show and my appearances on other shows. And if you want to leave us a review, that is super helpful for getting the word out about this podcast. iTunes and Spotify are the most useful ones, but whatever your podcast platform, if you can go ahead and leave a review there, it would be most appreciated. All right, let's dive in.
I am back with my teaching partner and dear friend, Jason Lang, Heart of Shadow, our flagship course to really welcome men into the heart, the fold, a place of belonging, a place of empowerment and healing. And we just wrapped our fifth cohort of Heart of Shadow, and the momentum is as strong as ever. What's becoming clear to Jason and I, you know, we're always asking, what is the mechanism? What is the thing that actually makes the work work? Why does every cohort and every experience I've had, Jason's had, yield profound breakthrough, yield healing, result in closeness, result in integration, an increased capacity to hold chaos, to hold pain, to hold love? And Jason and I came up with kind of a fancy masculine term to describe what happens when men get together. We call it the masculine vortex. And I've heard different men's programs call it certain things. But, you know, as we drill down to it and get into the experience more and more, and the experience itself wears a groove inside of us, Jason and I and all the men we work with, it really comes down to one thing that makes the work work. And that's love. And of course, as we say it, there's the hesitancy to go, oh, is this kind of woo-woo, you know, hippie? And there's nothing wrong with being a hippie or woo-woo. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. So, you know, this is where all the hippies moved after the 1960s for San Francisco. So I'm all for the hippie movement. But the love we're talking about, it has certain characteristics. And it arises when you put the right circumstance around it, when you put the right conditions around relating. And then some incredible things start to happen. And so as we learn more and more about this through experiencing it directly and studying it, we have more to say about it.
Yeah, I think what we've been discovering, both in our own journeys and in the journey of leading men through this program, is what an ache it often is for guys. You know, maybe love feels a little too woo-woo for you, but something about acceptance and approval as well is another way to think about it. And was really sitting with me this last week in that all of us as men, as humans, you're right, The mechanism we go through is we're born into some family system, and then we adapt to the family system to survive. And that adaptive child, you know, we might call it our inner child, our wounded child, is often who shows up to try to handle life when we're not sure what to do. And almost inevitably, that adaptation, which I've talked about on my show before, you know, oftentimes it's what protects us when we're young. It becomes the very barrier to what we want as adults. And the key thing here is, though people might think otherwise, the way to grow that part of all of us up is through love and acceptance. It's not through shame. It's not through discipline. It's not through getting rid of that part of ourselves. What we've seen, and certainly what I've experienced, is when that part is met with love and acceptance, it knows what to do to grow itself up. to reintegrate back into the nervous system. This is, you know, something you and I have talked about in this program. In a sense, you know, the type of shadow work we do is, it's a type of anti-coaching, because we're not actually telling you what to do. We're creating a context within your system where you have an insight, a realization, love touches you in some capacity, and then the system just knows often how to reorganize. I know it sounds totally woo-woo, but it's just, we see it in guys as they're receiving this type of love and acceptance. It's like their whole nervous system starts to rewire and settle in a way. And why this is key and what makes it not just woo-woo is, I can tell you, if you want to be a powerful, effective man in the world, you have to be able to show up in the ways you want in the moments that matter most. And most men have not fully integrated their wounding. And so they get a little triggered, they feel a little under-resourced, and suddenly that inner child is running the show. Whether it's in their job, their company, with their spouse, their intimate partner, their kids, you name it. I mean, I've been doing this stuff a while, and yeah, mine still shows up a couple times a month, I'd say. Have a very different relationship, and I'm able to bounce back from that in a pretty profoundly different speed, but it's still really important. And it's that longing, just that longing for masculine presence and love, that is so key and so core to the transformations we're seeing in men.
We get so used to, as men, not receiving love, particularly from the masculine. And I might tell my story here. I've told it many times. And so what ends up happening is we put tremendous pressure on the feminine for love. And it sets up this discordant amount of pressure between masculine and feminine. And we could actually see that dynamic as the source of a lot of problems between masculine and feminine. There's so much pressure to fulfill each other. In reality, there's this major nutrient that's missing. And that nutrient is the love that comes from masculine. Something we've been touching on this last 6 months. The masculine love does a couple things. First thing it does is you feel safe. You feel safe to be in a space of no demand. You don't have to perform. You don't have to show up. You don't have to push your body. When you're in the presence of masculine love, you can let go. The beauty of letting go is, as you let go, you feel yourself be lifted up. Your body lifts up. Your spine elongates. It becomes more erect, and it enables you to pick your head up, to look forward, to look at the horizon line, and gain perspective. But to have the strength to do that, we first have to feel safe to move out of fight or flight, where our vision narrows, tunnels down, and our head dips, and we get really myopic about what we have to do to survive. When the presence of masculine love enters our nervous system, the first thing we do if we're exhausted is we collapse because we're tired. But then we recoalesce, and we rise, and we lift, we look around, we see, there's someone here that I feel safe with, someone here that I can reveal the pain that I'm under, and we don't feel alone. Our relationship to being alone and lonely begins to go away. You and I have been running shadow work sessions individually for many, many years before we collaborated. And of course, together in our men's group, Jason, I think we've done 14, 15 sessions, you know, 5-day sessions over the last 8 years. And we've experienced this phenomenon so many times that now it's not, it's clear that there are principles of the animate nature of vitality that are operating when men get together in a context that allows their longing and love to come to the foreground. And so this brings in the question, what is that context? What are those set of conditions that you and I create that allow that to happen, because men have been gathering for centuries, or just we'll speak in more modern terms, into locker rooms or into work culture, and love doesn't necessarily flow to the degree that we're talking about. There are levels of camaraderie that move in a locker room that enable a team to win a championship around throwing or kicking a ball. And of course, we aggrandize that as this incredible thing. And it is incredible in certain ways, right? But there is a kind of, I hesitate to say cracking a code, but it's more like we dismantle the already established conditions and reestablish new conditions that allow that longing to come forward and that love to start to radiate into a space. And, you know, I think one of the things that drew me to this work, and I know you too, Jason, is that there was something, there's a, one of the conditions in the work is that we create a non-shaming environment. Shame is really not permitted to enter the space, which means we're never talking down, we're never being critical, we're never being authoritative in a demeaning way to anyone in the experience, which is strange because in the transformational marketplace, really for a long time, as long as I've been in it and my parents were in it from the 70s through the 80s, etc., shame was definitely a part of transformation, you know, putting someone on the hot seat, drilling them down, calling them out, taking them to task in various ways and various styles in the name of dismantling their ego so that they could experience who they really are. And you and I never, ever do that. So then how do the breakthroughs happen? And of course, for me, the breakthroughs and transformation I've seen in this work have been the most profound and complete that I've ever experienced, part and parcel because there was no damage incurred to my sense of identity in the letting go process. I didn't have the facilitators I worked with never said, you know, Luke, wake the fuck up. Luke, don't be a pussy. Luke, you're full of shit. Oh, you're doing that thing again, Luke. Never heard that once. And I have heard that in different things I've studied and been a part of. I could, you know, I could name some names of organizations where I was coached that way. And so I think, yeah, I think we should maybe talk about that a little bit. Like what, how do we set up that context? Cause it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I'm really struck. Actually, I'm thinking about this latest cohort we wrapped. One of the gentlemen pointed something out that in terms of the flow of the program and journey we take men on, he was like, yeah, one of the wild things is this has kind of been in reverse. Usually you meet someone in the world and you put your best foot forward. And then as you get to know them, you start to get to know the kind of shadowy elements, the stuff they don't want you to know or aren't proud of, or where they're out of integrity, you know, whatever it might be. And his experience of our program was it was reversed. Like we started and we just go right for the jugular. Here we are. Here's what doesn't work. Like, here's where we're in pain. Here's what I'm not proud of. You know, we kind of reveal that stuff pretty early on. You know, we have very tight agreements and structure around this. So it's not, it creates a level of trust to allow this to happen in, but we do go pretty fast in that sense. And we get to go under the hood, so to speak, of each other as men and see, yeah, what's running the show for us. And then towards the end of the program, we kind of start to sprinkle in the other stuff where, oh, wow, yeah, here's what I'm celebrating. Here's what's great about my life. Here's what I'm proud of. Things that often we lead with in a normal context, but we do it in reverse. And the power of that, one thing I've definitely realized in this program, one of the great powers is when we intimately connect with someone else's pain, we bond, right? There's like, it's a very human to human thing. And I think also part of what makes this work so important in this day and age of disconnection, tribalism, objectification, us, them thinking, you know, which is all over the globe right now. Something different happens when you first meet someone at a human to human level in the rawness of their pain. Because all those labels, all that bullshit, it just falls away. It just falls away. And it's like, wow, this is a human and I connect to their heart. And when we've bonded in that way first, something else becomes possible. And that's part of what we're talking about here. And then when we bond in that way, and then in some sense, shower these parts of ourselves that we really thought, and sometimes through experience learned from our day-to-day systems, were unlovable. When that gets touched by love, that's when the healing really tends to happen. That's when the reorganization tends to happen. That's when the integration tends to happen. And we're able to move through the world with more of ourselves online and more capacity to be present in things. And, you know, every time we do it, part of the joy of this program is we're seeing what the process is. That is not even something you and I created. It's just like, wow, there's this thing. And every time we get something gets revealed to us of how we can continue to further refine it and support it, and allow the connections to deepen. And love really is the central ingredient. And it is the thing that almost all men coming into our program are profoundly malnourished in, just profoundly. Particularly from the masculine, right? From the men in their lives, from the male caregivers that they experienced, where most often, you know, the default in our culture is you are rewarded for what you do, right? If you do a good job, if you make enough money, if you get good enough grades, if you win in the sports, you're rewarded. And that has a huge cost on our heart and soul as men. And the wild thing, again, for any skeptical men listening here, what we're seeing, the kick-ass thing is when men are loved for who they are, not for what they do, but for who they are, they actually end up having more capacity to go do more shit. Because then their well-being isn't dependent on the outcome, which allows us men to, in some sense, live more boldly because we have this safe, stable place of love that we can bring anything to in our groups that we help create.
Yeah, it's become such a normal thing in our lives, Jason, you're in my life, that, you know, our lives really reflect that we have this space of love that's alive. And because it's been in existence for so long, we're able to bring that to our wives, our kids, to our workplace. And it's just become normal. And of course, when we meet a new group of men, you and I bring that normalcy that at one point was really strange. You know, I think my first experience of it was, it was familiar in that it was something that I had recognized, but I hadn't experienced for decades, that level of acceptance and permission to bring my pain forward. And so when we meet a new group of men and we lay out the kind of contextual elements, you know, the first few things we ask men to do is to agree to two very challenging things, which is to be transparent and to be vulnerable. And of course, to enable that, we have to put a third condition, which is confidentiality. We're not going to air out everyone's history to the world. So that lays out a certain level of safety. And then we have a couple other agreements. We're asking men, people, I mean, next year we're going to be working with women too, offering the first cohort of Heart of Shadow. We're asking them to do something society has told them to do, essentially the opposite, to, you know, keep your cards close to chest, to not reveal, to not trust, to not get manipulated. And so it requires a big leap, you know. And I can think back, God, I remember I was with you, Jason, in Honolulu. Well, we met in Honolulu, and then we went to the west side of the island of Oahu. And I remember asking you, because you had worked with this particular teacher before, and so what are we gonna do, Jason? I think you tried to describe it in a certain way, because I'm trying to reference it to, was this like shamanic work, or is this like the landmark form, or is this like, breath work or whatever? And my experience was that I was a little bewildered because I had never been in an environment. Just thinking about it, I can feel the kind of tenderness of my heart where I could say and express myself in any way that wanted to come through me. Because I was basically asking you, Jason, what are the rules? Like, how do I do this right? And it was bewildering to discover, like, well, I mean, there's a kind of basic, like, obviously be respectful of human beings here, but, and having a space that was that open relationally, here's an interesting correlation. The closest place I had experienced that level of openness was in deep meditation, where I experienced consciousness as a phenomenon open ever more infinitely into space. And I would describe that space as being free and full of love and full of joy and peace. When I first experienced this work, I felt that same space, but in a relational context between me and human beings. It was familiar because I had experienced it energetically, but it was bewildering because I had never touched it in an actual eyes wide open relationship. And I think that was possible, blew me away, blew my conception of what was possible open. And then that there's this whole realm of experience to be had in relationship that is place related to that same location in consciousness, that's nature is free and full of love. And I know that might sound really strange to folks out there, but what we're really talking about when we talk about love is a place. It's a location in awareness inside that when you start to feel it and sense it, you gain the ability to take yourself back there, to even start to live there, and to not be relegated to only experience it in meditation or in a plant medicine journey or in a breathwork journey or whatever spiritual practice you may do to touch that space of freedom and love and acceptance. It starts to become available not just inside my being, but between me and other people. And then the journey starts to get really interesting.
Yeah, that it's such a great way to phrase it. Another way to think about, I think what we see men, where we see them end up is a type of relational freedom. So it's not just the freedom at the top of the monastery alone on the mat or alone in the woods, but it's, wow, I'm relating, I'm in connection to you, and I still get to feel free. Right? I can drop all the shit I think I have to do to be in connection with you. And instead, I get to just show up and be in connection with you and feel free. And that's a profoundly precious space I think we have found that isn't available to most people out in the world. And when they first touch it, it's life-changing. Like it's legitimately like, whoa, okay, I just saw the matrix here. And now I have this place I can plug in that fuels the rest of my life. right? There's this deep place of knowing and connection and trust and love. I mean, you know, go deep enough in and a lot of these things start to collapse. Freedom and love, like it all just becomes this state of, oh, it's all okay.
Yeah.
It's all okay.
Right.
And that, for so many men that come into our program, shouldering so much burden and heaviness of what they think they have to do, or even how they think they have to be in the world in order to X, Y, or Z, when that gets taken away, that's where so much of the life force and the energy we're talking about starts to come back. It's like, oh, wow. All of that capacity, all that resource I was using to try to figure out all that just becomes available to me now to feel alive, to feel more deeply, to love more, to move towards what I want in an even more profound way. And a lot of guys have just never had that and don't necessarily know how to even receive it. And I think that's part of maybe the gift of the groove our groups create, is they do have a certain amount of momentum to them, meaning there's like an energetic tidal wave that comes to help break down some of those barriers to reception to guys. It's like, there's actually nothing you have to do here. You just have to let go and go for the ride. And as guys experience that, it's pretty cool. It's like, wow, wait, I don't even have to do my work in a certain way, right? Like, what are the rules? I want to do it. I want to make sure mine's as deep and as valuable to the group as ever. And it's like, no, all that goes out the door. All that goes out the door. And that's where so much trust is born and so much camaraderie is born amongst the men as well that we've seen. And the real magic of, you know, this phrase I've been using lately that I learned, that the group starts to work towards mutual freedom. And the awareness of what happens when a man realizes, wow, me vulnerably going to these places inside myself actually starts to free the men around me. It's really cool, because most men, you know, want to be of some kind of service in the world. And this is a really unique way to do it that reformats things for a lot of our guys, that, whoa, I'm not being too much or being selfish by, you know, getting some support right now. And it's just so great. Every time we do it, we're like, hey guys, does it feel like this guy's asking? And everyone's like, no, you know, we're usually loving it. We're loving in a man in that space. And it becomes this really profound synergy, I guess is another way to put it, where, yeah, we're receiving from the group, but every time we're receiving from the group by, you know, stepping into transparency and vulnerability and allowing love to flow our way, we're actually giving to the group at the very same time. Every man, one of the most common things we hear when we do this process, is every man feels served by every other man's work. It's really profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The nature of masculine presence is that it wants to give, it wants to serve, it wants to step forward and help construct a reality that feels safe and empowering. That's just built into kind of masculine essence. And so when you give a man an opportunity to come forward and give his longing, you know, to extend his heart to another man who's hurting, we love that opportunity. You know, it speaks to our heroic nature to want to kind of lift the world up. And we all want that. And it's such a gift to be given that opportunity to serve someone. And I want to just take a moment to describe the nuance of what occurs around this sensibility of love and care. And it's this beautiful virtue that starts to arise, not in the beginning of the group, but it is definitely present by the end of the program. And it's not a quality that comes online, but initially, because it's more refined and it reflects a level of trust. And different traditions call it different things. One name for this quality is adoration. Another name for it is devotion. But it points to this quality of kind of loving gentleness, loving care that's attuned. There's an attunedness to it. And that attunedness occurs as each man steps in and shares, as we hold each other's stories, as we become keepers of each other's truths. And what adoration does is it titrates its focus to deliver the right dosage of care. And when that dosage comes in just right, it's like medicine, it unlocks the pathology and things, blood and energy start to flow. Things that were once constricted and tight deconstrict, relax, and you get life force, you get vitality coming back. And that feels good. That feels safe, and we just want more of that. We're no longer bound to hold our grief in, to hold our lust in, to hold our rage in, to hold our fear in all their derivative forms. We become anti-fragile. We become resilient and indomitable as that devotional space is open from brother to brother. And ultimately, Jason, something that we also say is that, often we're the last ones to get updated to how great we are for various reasons, which are somewhat self-explanatory. But when that devotion, that sense of adoration, adoring, in a fully awake way, starts to come back to me, like I start to appreciate myself with care, then the entire cycle becomes complete. And that's in part, we didn't fully anticipate this when we designed Heart of Shadow, but that we designed it to be decentralized, which means when the program ends, Jason and I don't own your group. You own the group. You and the other men in the group are owners of it and its culture and the thumbprint that you created. And that our job is to facilitate that. We're like midwives of the soul of the group. And we midwife, we help birth that. Once it's alive, then it's a being that just needs to be tended. And you have the capacity to do that, just like loving parents would to a baby. They're devotional, they're adoring, they're attuned, they're listening, they're attuned to that pitch of the cry of the baby. And in some ways it captures the essence of all of life. As Heart of Shadow is like a birthing back to what's most beautiful about you. And you get, nine brothers to help that unfold. Once it's established, yes, it has a living momentum, just like a child. It's alive. And it will continue to thrive as long as it's tended with love, devotion, care. And it will just continue to grow and grow and grow.
It's super, it's just such an honor to witness every time as well. Like, always so grateful to be part of it. And it just strikes me one way to kind of wrap this up. I think what happens in this feedback mechanism we see happen in the group where we learn doing our work as service to other men isn't, and not in like a big philosophical way, but in a very direct, tangible way, it starts to connect us to, oh, there's a my pain can have a purpose. Me touching my pain, being with my pain, actually becomes an act of service, and it becomes me being on purpose in the world, in a sense, in a way to serve. And these parts of myself that I've held in shame or fear before, because I thought, I don't want to burden other men with this. I don't want to burden other people with this. It's like, no, actually, there's a purpose to me feeling that and revealing that to other men because it helps other men heal. And it just creates, again, this beautiful brotherhood. And yeah, this kind of energetic entity that wraps the group that can then serve all men. And that all men is a big theme of our last retreat, get to tend that fire and help keep it alive by bringing their full selves to it. And so One of the themes I've been talking about a lot lately in men's groups in general, and definitely in our Heart of Shadow groups, you will get deep belonging and deep purpose. It's like being in the group is a type of purpose because your presence really does matter. What you're revealing really does matter. And in that process of bringing that forward, we've seen, and certainly what we experience in our group, is it's a profound sense of belonging that then relieves us of the burden of having to try to find that through all the shitty means that are out there in the world right now. Right. Instead, it's like, okay, here with these guys know who I really am, right? Warts and all. And when I have their trust and love, I don't have to give a shit about what most other people who don't actually know me think. And that is a profound place of power to come into as a man. You know, we've talked about it before. It's a type of inoculation that this kind of love provides us and fuels us with, that liberates us from having to try to get it in other places. And it's real and it's hard earned. This isn't easy work, right? And so this is challenging work for guys, but most men I know are up. They want it. You know, part of us wants it. We want to know, hey, I'm fucking doing something with this life I was given, right? And, you know, I'm increasingly convinced every soul, right? We have some kind of karma we're meant to work through in this life. And you either turn towards it or you numb out. And it's pretty easy, guys. I've numbed out before myself. The reward for turning towards is unfathomable. You know, it's just extraordinary. And we see it change men's lives, and it certainly changed mine. And so if you're yearning for this kind of love, definitely consider joining a cohort. They are a rare and precious thing. You know, Luke and I were only able to lead two of these a year right now. And they fill up fast. So that's 20 men a year. We're talking just 20 men a year right now get to experience this process. If it's something you're fired up to do, you can just head over to heartofshadow.com and either get on the mailing list, or if a cohort is open for registration, you'll be able to register right there and then and make sure you snag a spot, because word is definitely getting out. These are filling up faster and faster, and you want to be on top of it. And we love the work we do. And every time we wrap a cohort, I think, oh my God, how fucking cool. How fucking cool. How amazing and courageous and brave were these guys. Like, awe-inspiring every time. If you're interested in the Heart of Shadow, just head over to heartofshadow.com. We run two cohorts a year. And if you're interested in the men's group experience, just head over to men's.group. Doors will be opening in just a couple of weeks.
If you're interested in working with me around dating, relationships, or your masculine presence in the world, just go to evolutionary.men/apply.